Let us look to God in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you. We thank you for this Lord's Day that you have gathered your people here to worship you. Our hearts are filled with gratitude for what you have done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation, so rich and free. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for your providential care, for your protection and provision, for safety wherever we go. And this morning we come with humble hearts to seek your holy face. We pray for ourselves that your Spirit may have the liberty to work in and through us for greater, higher sanctification. We pray that we will yield to your Spirit working in our hearts. We will not resist, but we will allow you to do that work of sanctification in and through us. We thank you indeed that you have been very good to us. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness, kindness. Thank you for your mercy, your love, care and concern for us. This morning we pray that your Spirit once again speak to us concerning our faith. We pray, O Lord, that we may not be only hearers of the word, but doers of your word, not deceiving ourselves. We pray that the power of the word, Lord, may have greater spiritual impact upon us, that we may come to understand what you have installed for us and what you want us to do as Christians in this wicked and perverse generation. We pray that we may have that compassion of Jesus to reach out one another, to build up one another, to edify one another in the most holy faith. And so, Father, open our spiritual eyes and grant us receptive hearts to the preaching of your word. And may the seed of your word fall on good ground. And that in the days to come, Lord, it will, Lord, grow 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So may the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, be acceptable, Lord, in your sight. I pray all this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn our Bible to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. The book of Galatians, chapter 6. Let me read to you two verses again. And that is verse 2 and verse 5. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For every man shall bear his own burden. Burdensome people are everywhere. Each and every one of us has burdensome feelings. Some of us have unspoken burdens. Burdens that you find them difficult to share with, even with your loved ones or close friends. No one on earth can tell you, "I am burden free." This person is not telling the truth. Burdens are burdensome. Burdens are difficult to bear at times. Sometimes they are physically difficult to carry, emotionally tough to overcome, and psychologically complicated to put up with. George Herbert aptly said, "None knows the weight of another's burden." Life itself is a burden. Life is like unto a long journey with a heavy burden. There is no stage in life where there is no burden at all. Patricia Heaton aptly said, "It's hard enough to work and raise a family when your kids are all healthy and relatively normal. But when you act on some kind of disability or disease, it can just be such a burden." If life itself is a burden, how should Christians live this life? I believe Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the life of Christ, or the law of Christ," is the answer to the question. The teaching of Paul is consistent. In Galatians 5:13-15, Paul exhorts Christians to serve one another in love, and in so doing, they fulfill the royal law of Christ. Likewise, it also applies to bearing one another's burdens. A church that bears one another's burdens is a caring church, because its people give the same care to one another, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12:25. "Now bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ," is to be understood in the light of the previous verse. And here we read, "Brethren," and Paul here speaking to Christians, "if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." In the church, there are weak and strong Christians, just as we read in the book of Romans 14:15. And Paul reminds us that if a weak Christian is overtaken in a fault, the strong are to help him to pick himself out. The strong are the spiritual ones who walk in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit. By virtue of their spiritual maturity, they are responsible for those who are overpowered by temptation, for those who are caught red-handed, so to speak. Sometimes it is easier to help restore a fallen brother than to help hold him up once he is back on his feet. The responsibility of the spiritual Christian not only helps a fallen brother to recover from his moral lapses, but also helps to bear his burdens. That's the difficult part in bearing other people's burden. And sadly, not too many spiritual Christian or mature Christians would want to commit themselves to. This is why I said burdens are burdensome. It's never easy to bear the burdens of others because it is time-consuming. It is energy, you know, accepting, emotionally draining, physically, spiritually, and psychologically, and even mentally tiring. As a minister of the gospel, I have many opportunity to minister to people, especially those who are going through difficult time, those who are sick. I remember some years ago when I spent a lot of time ministering to this young couple. They just got married not too long ago, and the husband had a nose, you know, cancer. And so one evening, I felt very strongly that the Spirit of God was urging me to be with him in the hospital. So I left for the hospital at 11:30 p.m. He was in a very critical condition. His wife didn't know what to do. I stayed with him, sang praises to encourage his heart, and read the Word of God to him till the Lord called him home the following day at 1:30 p.m. It was emotionally painful to see a dear brother suffering, physically, spiritually, and mentally tiring to stay through the night. My own ministry experience teaches me that when the Lord burdens your heart to minister to someone, you must be prepared to give of your best, even to the point of sacrificing your sleep, comfort, or personal interest. And I learned this lesson from Jesus and Paul. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Paul reminds me to look out for one another's interests. You read in Philippians 2:4, and not just for my own. Paul said, "Bear ye one another's burdens." The verb "bear" is a command, is an imperative. The idea here has the thought of carrying with endurance. That is to say, burden bearing can be a long-term commitment. We do not know how long burden bearers should bear one another's another person's burdens. That we shall discuss in verse 5. But the point I would like to make is that spiritual Christian, mature Christian, do not have any other choice not to assist or help their fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord in carrying their burdens, for it is a command for them to obey. To disobey God's command is to disobey God. And so, each and every one of us who are spiritual, who are mature in the Christian faith, is to bear one another's burden. Now, the burden Paul here refers has to do with heavy loads that are difficult to carry or difficult to lift. Now, what kinds of burdens Paul had in mind? One commentator, John F. MacArthur, suggests that the reference has to do with burdens, that is, a slavery of religious practices in Galatians 5:1. Now, if you were to read the book of Galatians, know that these people have been delivered from the law, from the slavery of the law. But because some false brethren creep into the church and teach another gospel. And so here we read in chapter 5, verse 1. Here Paul exhorts the believers, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So, according to MacArthur, that was the context. Alright, that was the context. So, burdens here means a slavery of religious practices in Galatians 5:1 that tempt a sinning believers to fall back into the trespass from which he has been delivered. A persistent or pressing temptation is one of the heaviest burdens a Christian can have. William Barclay and other commentators suggest that there is a kind of burden which comes to a man from the chances and the changes of life. In fact, MacArthur tells a story of a dying man. Before this man died, MacArthur visited him, and this man confessed something to him, a deep burden that has been in his heart for many years. And for many years, he had been battling against these burdens of sin, and that is pornography. So even before he died, he's still battling against that sin. And that was really a burden to that man. Now, however, I would like to suggest that burdens here have a far wider application. Burdens here may refer to bodily weakness, old age, sorrow, shame, poverty, finance, housing, relationships, life partners, study, children's education and welfare, careers, unhealthy, lustful thoughts life, a burden of hurt, emotional upset, and loads laid on us by loved ones, relatives, or friends. Burdens are found everywhere, in the home, in the church, in the community. So I would look at burden here in a wider application. Now, Jesus was our burden bearer. We read in Isaiah 53 verse 4. He said, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Jesus bore our sicknesses and bodily diseases. He came to lift from us the burdens of sin by facing it, allowing his body to be broken for us at Calvary Cross. Indeed, he had carried our heaviest burdens and sacrificed his life to carry the burden of our sins, as we read in 1 Peter 2:24. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he issued an invitation. And we all know that verse in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come, you who are tired, weary of life, come, and I will give you rest." So he called to the weary and the burdened. He was not calling to those who have gotten rid of their burdens and are all rested up. He was calling to those who presently have burdens and who are currently weary of those burdens. Come. What an open invitation to us. Now, Jesus is saying to you today that he will give you rest. He does not say, "Go on and carry your burden until you can finally get rid of the burdens yourself, and then you will rest and no longer be weary." No, he says to come to him while you still have your burdens. And I believe that all of us here in this congregation have burdens. And I want to encourage you to to let Jesus, come to Jesus and let Him carry your burdens. For He said that my burden is light. Now some of you may be thinking, I am not good enough for God. I must get rid of some bad habits before I come to Him. Well, let me tell you honestly, you will never be able to change. Alright? You will never be able to change enough bad habits. Or rather, you will never be able to change to get rid of your burdens. You can never. You will never experience peace and rest as long as there is something not right with you. There is no other way to deliver yourself from the slavery of sin except by Jesus, your burden bearer. You know, I believe for many of us, we have read Pilgrim Progress, that excellent book written by John Bunyan. When Christian in Pilgrim Progress began his journey, he had a terrible burden on his back from which he wanted to rid himself. He knew no way to get rid of it until evangelists pointed him towards the narrow gate beyond which was the light. Now Christian could not see the gate, but he followed the light to the gate. It was not until Christian entered the gate, came to the cross, and found his salvation through Jesus Christ, that his burden dropped from his back. So will you come to your burden bearer today? He can and is able to get rid of your burdens of sins. If you have not yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the time to come to Him. This is the time to reckon that He is our burden bearer. And all we need to do is hand it over to Him. He will do it, you know, for us. Like Jesus, Christians are also burden bearers. Jesus went about doing good. He bore the burdens of the people. He fed the poor, healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, and raised the dead. We may not feed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but we can reach out to people who are in dire need. We read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then in verse 10 he said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to the family of God. We may not heal the sick or open the eyes of the blind, but we can visit them, sing praises with them to God, pray for them, pray with them, and read the Word of God to them. We may not raise the dead, but we can comfort the bereaved, help them in any ways we can, support them emotionally, and uphold them in fervent prayer. Jesus indeed has set a good example for us. But whether you and I will take up the challenge to bear the burdens of others is left to be seen. But remember, it is a command to us to bear one another's burden. Now, one of the problems with Christians is selfishness. Sadly, some Christians have completely shut themselves out from the troubles and sorrows of others. They are isolationists whose sole interest is in self. Me, 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 I, my. You see, when Christians exhibit self-centeredness, the chances for them to lighten other people's burden by helping them to carry them are slim. They will first look at themselves and ask themselves the following questions. By lighting other people's burden, would it benefit me? Would it take away my time, my energy, my sleep, my pleasures of life? Would it be too troublesome for me? Christians whose interests are self-centered do not know the joy of salvation the Bible talks about. The secret to Christian joy lies in abandoning self for the cause of Christ and the good of others. Christian joy is putting Jesus first, others second, and you last. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, and you last. And that is Christian joy. Self-centered Christian displeases God. He does not follow God's command. He does whatever pleases him or whatever that benefits him. However, this is not the Bible. This is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:17, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. God is no man's debtor. When a man gives to the poor, it is like lending to the Lord, and the Lord will pay him that. You read in Proverbs 19:17. So it is good to pray a prayer like this. Dear Heavenly Compassionate Father, help me to see the burdens in the lives of others around me, and then respond to those burdens with your help. I want to be a channel of blessing to the broken and discouraged. So please help me find my place and my way of serving to your glory. In the compassionate name of Jesus, I pray. We need to pray a prayer like this, that God will fill our hearts, like Jesus, with compassion. You read in Matthew chapter 9, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, the Bible tells us. And he reached out to them and touched them and healed them. And the second part of the verse, in verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is also known as the royal law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, in James 2:8. The law of Christ is the law of love, and it fulfills all the rest of God's law. And that is why you read the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. You read about our duty to God, our vertical relationship with God. You only worship one God, no other God. We must not take God's name in vain and remember the Sabbath day. That is our vertical relationship. And our horizontal relationship, our duty to man. Alright, we are not to steal, we are not to murder, we are not to covet and so forth. And you see the cross there. So unless your relationship, your vertical relationship with God is right, there is no way that your horizontal relationship with man is right. You cannot say that I'm okay with man where your relationship is bad with God. You need to get it right with God. Then you can get it right with man. So the Lord of Christ teaches us to love one another. And you read in the Gospel of John and also in the epistles of John, the word love one another occurs, you know, so many times. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment, Jesus said, I give to you, love one another. And if you love one another just like the way that I have loved you, the world will know that you are disciples of Christ. And in the epistles of John, you know, he said that God is love. God is love. So we read in 1 John 4:21, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So if you claim that you love God and you hate your brother, then you have never have loved God. You are deceiving yourselves. So if you say that you love God, then you must love your fellow brethren. Of course, it is easy to love the lovable, but it's difficult to love the unlovable. But the Bible says that we are to love our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. As I said in my first message here, we are one another in the family of God. We have strong Christian and weak Christian. And we are to love one another, just as Christ has loved us, just as Christ has accepted us. And if we cannot do that, you may come to church and worship God, you may have a good time, but deep in your heart, there's something against that person. Deep in your heart, you find it difficult to love that person. Then spiritually speaking, you're not right with God. You can pray, you can cry unto the Lord, but the Bible says in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And in the book of Proverbs, the Lord delights to hear the prayer of the righteous. And so we are to love one another. If we do that, then we fulfill the royal law of Christ. And this is, by the way, it's found in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus. We are to love God just as we love ourselves. So if that is so, then whoever loves God must also bear one another's burdens. The same applies to keeping a weaker brother from sin, where we read in James 5:19 and 20, and in so doing, this whosoever, James said, the one who helped to restore a brother, a backslider, back to the Lord. James said that he has fulfilled the royal law. So we are to do that. And remember, it is a command, and we have no choice. We have to obey that command. Now, let's come to verse 5. Verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, reading from the English translation, Paul seems to contradict what he had just said about bearing one another's burden in verse 2. Verse 2 says that we are to bear one another's burden. Verse 5 says that you have to bear your own burden. It seems that he contradicts himself. However, if you look at the original language, Paul actually used a different word for burden here. Alright, a different word for burden here. According to Professor Lightfoot, the word burden in verse 5 means a load which one is expected to bear. It was used as a military term for a man's pet or a soldier's kit. That means a soldier is responsible for his own pet. He has to carry it himself. Sometime last year, we had a very interesting what we call a photo, you know, in a newspaper, where you see a soldier walking behind, playing with his handphone, and his family mate was carrying his pet. Now, that is not right. A soldier should carry his own pet, should carry his wife, so to speak, his rifle, his wife, not to allow the mate to carry him for him. And that's the meaning of the word here. Now in the New Testament, the word is used of a burdensome load. Alright? For instance, in Matthew 23, let us turn to Matthew 23. Here talks about the Pharisees. In Matthew 23, verse 4. Alright, let me just read from verse 2. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their words, for they say and do not. That means they are hypocrites. And then in verse 4 it says that, for they bind heavy burdens. That's the word there. That's the word there. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. You see that? That's the word here. Use of burdensome load. And then in Acts 27:10, of a ship's cargo. Remember in Acts 27, where the ship that Paul was traveling was about to shipwreck. They dumped away a lot of cargo. That's the word there, burden. It also denotes the easy load which Christ imposes on his disciples. You read in Matthew 11 verse 30, he said that my burden is light. The same word used in this text. So Paul is right to say that you and I are to bear one another's burden in verse 2. But in Galatians 6:5, he also tells us that there is a duty which none can do for us, and a task for which we must be personally responsible. Each believer has to bear his own burden of duty and responsibilities. We must understand that the burden of sharing human infirmity is one thing. The burden of giving an account for our action to God is quite another. The former is distributed between our brethren to be mutually borne. The latter part rests on each other separately and apart. So when Paul said, for every man shall bear his own burden, he meant there are certain Christian responsibilities or burdens each believer must bear which cannot be shared with others. He has to bear it or bear them himself. Therefore, don't try to bear another's burden. Alright, another's burdens, when you cannot even bear your own burden. Take care of your own load first before you reach out to others who are in need. And now you know why some people, some Christians, are burnt out. Because they carry people's burden, where his own burden, he has problem carrying also. And he experiences no burnout. Now how should I bear the burdens of others? How should I be a burden bearer? Is there a cut-off point? Well, I believe so. But we need to have discernment and God's wisdom to do it. First, when you cannot take it anymore, alright, when you cannot take it anymore, in life you do not bear only one person's burdens, but many, including your own burdens. If you find this person's burdens are too heavy to bear, then you should look for someone to help you to bear them. Don't be a hero. If you are not able to manage it, get someone to help you. Second, when you find that the person you have been helping has come to a certain stage of improvement, let that person go gradually. In other words, there will come a time that this person is able to handle his own burden. Let that person go gradually. And thirdly, if you find that you are not able to bear any more added burdens, you should graciously reject them. Or you could channel them to someone else to help bear these burdens. In other words, know your limits, lest you get burnout. In my own ministry, I have done it for the sake of my health, my sanity, and my family. Family unity. Satan is very smart and cunning. As long as he can destroy your health, sanity, and family, he will gladly encourage you to bear many more burdens till you drop dead. We must not be ignorant of Satan's devices or schemes. Now, while bearing another's burdens, I will always encourage that person to look to God for help. Two scripture references. First of all, we read in Psalm 55, verse 22. 55, verse 22, the psalmist says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, to be shaken." And in the same vein, Peter said, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." The Lord carries your burden in a way no Christian can do. If he is carrying it for you, let him do it. A story is told of a man walking in a dusty road with a load on his back. Another man came by and offered him a ride. While sitting in his truck, he still kept the load on his back. The other man stopped and said to him, "Put your load back there in the truck." The man replied, "Thank you very much for giving me a ride, but I do not want you to carry my load too." See the point? And this is what happened to many of us. We may have cast our burdens to the Lord. We come before the Lord and we pray and we cast our burdens before the Lord. But unconsciously, we still carry them the moment we leave His presence. Why don't we just leave them there for the Lord to carry them? We are worried. We have many problems. We tell the Lord and we commit it to the Lord. Lord, please take care. And the moment that you leave His presence, you are still carrying that load of burdens. Did you know that an eagle knows when the storm is approaching long before it breaks? The eagle will fly to some high spot and wait for the winds to come. When the storm hits, it sets its wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it above the storm. While the storm rages below, the eagle is soaring above it. The eagle does not escape the storm. It simply uses the storm to lift it higher. It rises on the winds that bring the storm. When the problems of life come upon us, what should we do? We can be like the eagle who rise above them by setting our minds and our thoughts towards God. We read in Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me and be ye saved." In other words, we are to learn to look upward. The storm do not have to overcome us. We can pray for God's power to lift us above them. God is able. God enable us to ride. The winds of the storm that brings sickness, tragedy, failure, and disappointments in our lives. We can soar above the storm. Remember, it is not the burdens of life that weigh us down. It is how we handle them. Just like the children of Israel, when they come to the end point before the Red Sea, and the armies of Pharaoh was marching forward, they all panicked. And we read in Exodus 14:13, what did Moses say? "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And that's what we need to learn. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We couldn't do anything. We have to look up to Him and let Him perform the miracle. So, brethren, life itself is a burden. Burdens are everywhere. Burdens are burdensome. And yet God command us to bear one another's burden, and in so doing fulfill the royal law of Christ. However, Paul also said that first we need to bear our own burdens. We need to take care of our own load first before we reach out to others who are in need. You who are spiritual should not only restore the morally weak, but also bear the burdens of others, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So may God open our eyes to see the burdens of others around us, and make us a channel of blessing to them. It is a command, and we have no choice. Pray that God will give us the grace to do it. And we must do it to help one another in the most holy faith, because we are in the same family. Well, let us close by turning to Him.